Hi, I'm Monica Packer from About Progress, and this is A Growth Spurt, a bite-sized way you can increase your progress today. I got a DM the other day from a woman who was about to make her very first do something list. I love this message for a couple reasons, but one is that I absolutely adored that she is creating her first do something list. And it's April, which totally proves one of the mantras that we've had in this community forever, that it is never too late. I know a lot of us think, oh, it's April, it's too late for me to make my goals, it's too late to make my do something list, it's too late because I'm old or something happened. That's like, there's always going to be excuses. So just remember that, it's never too late. And I also loved that she asked a really insightful question that I really haven't had before. She said, is there anything you find yourself repeating year after year? My immediate and all caps answer to her was yes. And I got so excited about those repeats that I didn't just want to share them with her. I wanted to share them with you as well. Because maybe you made a do something list, but you haven't had a lot of energy or time to invest in it. And that's actually me so far this year. And that's okay. It's never too late to recommit. And maybe you need just a little refresher and maybe to add some things in or take things away. And some of what I'm going to share with you today can do that. Or maybe having something as regular as I have on my do something list can inspire you to find that regular thing. Or maybe you made a list last year and you're realizing, hey, I can actually repeat things. So I'm going to take the things I love from last year's list and apply this to this time's. And also for those of you who haven't even made yours, I hope this can give you a launching pad to create your own. So let me go through some of the things that I have repeated, honestly, every year since I have made a do something list. And this is now going on 8 years. The first is what I originally called a mom day. And to me, that was a mom day off, like a day just for mom. And that meant Brad stepped into the role as mom and took over for a day. And the first few years we did this, we actually did it on a weekend so that it would be easier. And the last year, maybe two, I've actually been so lucky because Brad's taken off a day and done all the mom duties while I take that day for myself. And we've been usually timing it around my birthday because that's just really something I would love to do to celebrate my birthday. And I actually have done a full episode on what I now call a me day instead of a mom day. And I will link that in the show notes for you. But just for here, let's give a quick nutshell. A me day is a day that you take to and for yourself. It can take a little bit of time. It can take like an hour, or it can take a couple hours, or it can take a whole day. It can be free. It can be not free. And it can change every time. I mean, last year, half of my me day was me doing gardening and yard work, because with a 6-month-old, that was something I desperately wanted and needed to do, and it was time to myself too. So it really is just about what you want and need without having to really worry about your responsibilities as much for that day. So that's been on my list every single day since. My very first me day I ever did, I remember this so visibly. I took the BART, that's our Bay Area Regional Transit. I think that's what that whole acronym stands for, but it's a train into San Francisco. And I remember because on the way there, I was reading a book by Elizabeth Gilbert. I can't even remember what the book was now. I think it was about marriage, ironically, because she's since been divorced, which is no big deal, but it just was one of those times like I was reading something that her life changed after. But I remember reading that book as I was on my way into the city and just how weird it felt to be really alone for my first time in years. And when I went into the city, I went to the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. And I just strolled through all the galleries and really took it in. I got to see some of my favorite artists up close that I hadn't really been able to see. And I just had a wonderful time looking at all the art. And then I went to Anthropology and I just window shopped because everything was too expensive for me. And I hope I got a treat or a snack somewhere. I'm not sure. I probably packed it in because I was trying to be a little cheaper. And then I took Bart back home. And when I got home, Brad had made spaghetti for us and the family. And I think we had a 10-month-old at the time. So it was just so nice, or maybe he was 11 months old. It was just so nice to have that that time, those hours to myself, and also reconnecting to something that I used to love to do so much. And as part of that, reconnect to myself. And all my me days from there have changed. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing this year yet, but I'll figure it out. But that has been on my list every year. I really look forward to having that day, even if it's sometimes just been a couple hours to myself. The next one I didn't originally have on my do something list, but it did start in 2020, and I have done it every year since. So this is now my fifth year having this one on my list. And I've worded it different ways certain years, but it always comes back to exploring my personal style. And one of the ways I have phrased that commonly is to have more fun with fashion, have fun with fashion. And this all went back to just, you know, feeling like I lost my style as a mom, and also, you know, with budgeting constraints, just really having a hard time with what was already in my wardrobe and had been there forever, but didn't reflect both me and also my season of life. And in a way, reflecting, or rather reconnecting with what I put on my body, also helped me reconnect to who I even was. Like, who was I anymore? What was my personal style? And how was that style reflective of deeper sides of myself? And I have had that on my list every year since, not because I spend a lot of money on clothes, although I totally could, not because I want to lean into the consumerism culture. It's been more about using what I already have and trying to make it more feel like me more often. It's been about small ways I have prioritized myself just by even getting dressed for a day. I wouldn't say any of my outfits are very ornate or over the top or overdone. It still is quick and thrown together and comfortable, but I really know who I am better because of that one item. And I would say I can tell you, I think my personal style is tomboy chic. I like a good balance of masculine and feminine and function, and also beauty and classic, but also a little bit artsy. Like, all those words kind of tie into me with like a tomboy chic. So that's where I'm at with that one, and I'm still doing it this year. One I did have on my very first list, and I've continued to have every year since, is reading a certain number of books. The first year, I believe I started with 20 books. That's all I wanted to be able to read. And now I usually read between 80 to like 110 or more. And I think the year that we built our house here and I renovated and I spent so much time painting and all that, I think I read closer to 120. Last year, I think it was in the 80s. It doesn't matter the number, but I put a number on there that will just give me a little bit of a fun push, not like I have to meet this or I am doomed. It's not a goal. It's just more about a motivator. It more is like gamification, where every time I put a little tally on my list, I know, oh, I am getting, like, I am building up to a cool number, and it's just fun no matter what. It doesn't mean I have to top the year prior. This year I have put a little twist on that. And while I'm for myself excited to track the number of books I read, it's been more about wanting to read more in-hand books, like physical books. And I count books on a Kindle. And that's just a good way for me to prioritize slowing down, actually, and reading and in a little bit slower ways. So I actually would love to read fewer books this year and read more in-hand books. And so I'm tracking more that number. But anything to do with reading, I find, has helped me rediscover who I am, which again is the whole point of the do something list. It's about that reconnection, that rediscovery, an uncovery and a discovery, as I like to say. So I've always had something about reading. And I would say the last one that I typically have on there is something about baking or cooking, trying new recipes. The last few years, I have done more sourdough, like try a certain number of sourdough recipes. And that's always been fun. I think sourdough really did save my 2023, because for, I don't know, a good half to almost maybe like two thirds of the year, that was the only do something list and reading that I could actually, those two items are the only way I could actually make any progress on my do something list. I just was in a survival mode. So both of those have continued to be on my list because they help me in small ways just add a little bit of zest and Monica to a normal day. And I'm thinking there's several other things, you know, but really those are the ones that are my top repeats. And sometimes I repeat things like in a span of 2 or 3 years, I repeat them often. And other years I revisit something I had a long time ago. But a lot of my list tend to be things that are new and they match my mood, they match my needs, they match my season. I've had years where my do something list was about creativity. I've had others where my list was about challenging myself physically, Last year was about staying in and still trying to reconnect to myself during that survival time. And this year is more about adventure and getting out and having fun and doing all those kind of things. And I'm loving it. I'll say this year, I think I've made the most progress with, I've made a couple sourdough recipes. But the biggest thing for me is I've gone to a lot of culture events, and on my list, I call it get out and get cultured. And I want to go to 10 of them. And I think I'm going to for sure match that. And I'm about to start my garden stuff, which is going to be fun. And and reading as well, which has been really nice. So it's one of those times, though, as you've heard me share in the intro to a lot of episodes lately, spring is a great time to recommit to the do something list. And as part of that, having some items on your list that are a little bit more doable and familiar to you is really helpful. One of the reasons why I have these repeats is because it helps me prioritize the list when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And doing something new, even if it's small, requires energy. So one of my things I know I want to do this year is 3 creativity projects, like new to me creative mediums. And I've already got the embroidery project like sitting downstairs in my basket that I have in my main area for me to do. And I haven't gotten to it just because it takes energy to do. And it's not like hard, it's not labor intensive, and I'm not taking a class for it, I'm not having to watch all these tutorials, but because it still takes energy, it's hard for me to have that momentum right now. So having things on my list that are already familiar helped me lean into creating momentum instead of waiting for motivation. And I'm able to make some progress and kind of ride that momentum wave and do newer things over time. I find that when I have those more doable items or things that are familiar or just kind of easier or fun, then I'm able to make more progress in the bigger things too, or at least the things that take a bit more energy and a bit more intention. So if you are behind, maybe, I'm saying that in a maybe quotes because you're never behind, but if you're feeling behind, I am too, and it's fine. You can start today. If you haven't made one, you can start today. Remember our mantra, it is never too late. So join me in recommitting to your do something list, or by making your one for this year, maybe your first one ever too. You can get a free training by going to aboutprogress.com/DSL. Again, that stands for do something list, aboutprogress.com/DSL. Next up, I'm going to do a progressor spotlight. Today is both a spotlight and an update. Kim, who was a coaching call for the podcast, recently messaged me to let me know an update for her and getting back in the swing of things of making friends as an adult and how that's been going for her. Just as a refresher, in the coaching call, we talked more about how she could embody the qualities that she wanted in a friend herself, and then bring that person to the table as she was forming new friendships. And she recently had a situation where she was able to practice that out. And while I'm not going to share the whole situation or anything, it just is one of those everyday kind of situations that you have that can feel a little awkward. But as she leaned into the qualities of the person she wanted to be, which was, you know, curious and present and non-judgmental, like all those kind of things, she really had a wonderful conversation with this person when it could have been an awkward situation. So I want to validate and honor her today for the progress that she's been able to make in that important part of her life. That's what I hope you can be making for yourself too. Just a little bit of improvement, a little bit of progress goes a long way. And I hope this episode inspired you on how you can, you know, refresh your DSL, recommit to it, or make your first one if that's where you're at. Thank you so much for listening. Now go and do something with what you learned today.